This podcast is proudly brought to you by POC Podcasts.
Son of a Son, a podcast unpacking how fatherhood makes better men.
Hi, my name is Kgabo Legora, and my guest today is Langabi Hlungwane, aka Torch, my best friend for the past 10 years. And we are tackling a topic that is quite hot, which is calling each other out. Leave a comment or use the hashtag Son of a Son, and let's keep the conversation going. And we're back. So this time around, today I'm talking to one of my best mates. We've been friends for about 10 years. We met in varsity, got married around the same time, became dads around the same time. So I want to introduce you to my boy. And his AK is a bit, let me let him say it, because I don't have the same effect. What's your name, bro?
My name is Torch Ever Blazing.
Can you hear that, man? I need an AK. You're a dad.
I am. I'm a father of two little monsters. I love them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That almost sounded a bit weird. Boys, yeah?
Yeah, two boys. The oldest one is Bukosi. Bukosi is 4 years old, and Mohlori,
yeah,
he's 3 years old. 4 and 3. I don't waste time.
Damn. Wait, how old were you when you had your first Bukosi?
When I had Kosi, I was 25, turning 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, okay. So I had my son when I was 24, 2025.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And now they're best mates.
That's right.
That's dope.
They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they don't. So did our wives. They didn't have a choice either.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually.
No, they didn't. And I mean, just to give context to those that don't know, it's like we went from varsity, started dating our ladies at the same time, got married around the same time, then had kids around the same time. It wasn't planned.
Yeah.
It wasn't planned.
We made them best friends.
Yeah. That's a story for another day. So, bro, I specifically wanted to, you know, today to chat about us being dads first, and then, you know, just a few other things that have been on my mind the past few weeks. I recently, you know, recorded one other episode with Jay something. You know Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Jay. You've worked together with him. And, you know, but he said something that kind of like sparked a topic in my head that I know that would only make sense to talk to you about because of how long we've been in a relationship together.
Yeah.
10 years is a lot between gents, share a lot of moments and times and whatever and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And while I was talking to Jay, one term came out of this thing where we were talking about how do we become better as guys, as gents? How do I become a better father? And one of the things was communication.
Yeah.
Being a thing that, you know, as gents we need to talk more often. But a level above that, above talking, is that we need to get into the habit of being able to call each other out.
Yeah.
Now, when he said call each other out, I was like, yeah, damn, I remember the first time I heard this term, calling each other out. And it was back when we were in varsity and we were like a whole squad of us guys, when we had tension in between us.
Yeah.
You remember this?
The TRC. Yeah.
We used to call this thing TRC, and I mean, it was like, I think it was a bit of a hectic term.
Truth and Reconciliation.
And Council. You know what would happen is that we would get together as mates, as guys, like maybe like 8 of us or something like that. I remember that night.
Yeah.
And get together, put the chairs in a circle. And I remember we were just like, there was a time that just all the guys just had vibes toward each other.
Yeah.
And it was just getting tense in and amongst each other. And I remember we called for this day to just put out our issues with each other.
Call each other out.
Call each other out. Each guy had a time. You sit there. That's and
on the hot seat.
On the hot seat, and everyone tells you what their beef is with you.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, it's your mate. So you're doing this thing, you know, with the end result of it being that we move past this, yeah. You know. And but at the same time, to balance it out, you kind of like need to just, you know, stroke the guy's ego a bit. You know, you're my boy, you're great, whatever, whatever. Yeah, get that out of the way. But this is not the norm.
Not at all.
This is not the norm.
Like, even with us, it was a bit weird and uncomfortable because it's like a, I'm sitting here now, I need to be like brutally honest with this guy about what I don't like or what I think he needs to change, you know? And it's just weird, even amongst friends.
Sure.
Like, never mind now when you have to now go into a different setting, like whether you're at work or and you need to call out your boss. Like, it's hard enough calling out friends, and it's supposed to be a safe space.
Bro, I when you even just said boss, I was just like, hell no, I don't even see myself calling out my boss or anything like that. But I think for me, that's also a thing. It's like, yeah. If I'm not able, and I mean, like, in those kind of dynamics of like with an employer or a client or in business, whatever, like, I think you wouldn't call it calling them out. It's just a bit of a different thing. You just confront them, talk about it, yeah. Whatever.
But in its essence, it's calling out.
Sure.
I mean, even at home, like, we're trying to create a culture with the kids where if someone is doing something that we have agreed should not be done in the house, then you get called out, right?
That's hectic, bro. You're calling out your boy at 4 years old.
Yes. And now, like, I think it was yesterday, I was sleeping on the bed with my shoes on. And then Hluri, my youngest, he's like, Torch? Yes, he calls me Torch. He's like, Torch, take off your shoes.
Wait, pause. Can I just say that your kids call me Papa and then they call you Torch?
Yeah.
That's twisted.
Because, no, because kids, like, they kind of just, like, regurgitate. Yeah. So they hear your kid calling you Papa, yeah. So you are Papa. That's your name.
Yeah.
They hear everyone calling me Torch, so I'm Torch. But, yeah, so I was, like, on the bed with my shoes on. And then he's like, Torch, take off your shoes. And then I'm like, yeah, boy, but my legs are not on the bed. He's like, but you're on the bed and your shoes are on. And you said we can't get on the bed without shoes on. And I was just like, he's not really getting me. Like, my shoes aren't touching the bed. Yeah. But I get the fact that he needs to call me out because I said this is not allowed.
I just say that that's a bit, in as a principle, I think that's a very strong thing for your kids. To have the platform to say something if you're in the wrong as a parent.
Yeah.
Like I haven't had that kind of, like, these kind of experiences with my kids, but I know that, like, when I got older and I started understanding the dynamic of, or rather the value of confrontation and calling someone out on their things. Because truth of the matter, for me as a principle, is that if you're in my life and we're in this thing for the long haul, I don't have a choice. And we need to deal with the issues that are here. So, like, I know, I remember, like, with my, it was a bit of a weird one, like, with my dad. Like, I remember after done with varsity and have a job and all of that stuff. And, like, the African culture, black culture, let me rather say, is that, like, once you're done with school, and you have a job, it's like now you have a voice in the house.
Now we listen to
you. Now we listen to you. The rest of the time, like, just sit back.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, when I was done with varsity, got my job, and I was married. That's even, like, level up. And I was married. I remember, like, I was like, damn, you know, I still have stuff that I need to talk to my dad about, a few things that I've just had sitting for a while and I need to get out of the way because they need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And it helped. The dynamics of our relationship changed a bit more. Yeah. We interacted a bit more. The respect was a bit different as well. And so I think, like, when it starts from a younger age, your son then understands the value of, listen, I'm not always going to be right. And I need to be able to create that willingness to be called out. And I think that's also a big thing. It's like, now, the thing with this not being a norm, I think, in my opinion, is that it's because you can't, you can't come up to me if I haven't given you the platform to confront me or to call me out on something.
Yeah.
If you're a complete stranger and you come to me and you're like, yeah, I don't like how you spoke to that woman, and I don't know you from a bar of soap, in as much as you might be correct,
yeah,
it's just not going to land the same way as if my boy called me out.
Yeah. I think creating that space, like this is how I thought about it, creating that space for my child at home, right? I teach him that, one, when there is a standard set, right, and someone like moves from that standard and does something else, then
you consequences.
You should call them out.
Yep.
And say, listen, these are the rules set, and you are not abiding by the rules, so I'm calling you out. But I feel like what it does is that it also encourages him to be aware of what is happening around him, right? And like with what you just said now, like going up to a random stranger, right? It's like, for example, I feel like if a random stranger is speaking to another random stranger, let's say a female, in a derogatory way, right? There is a standard of what a good way of speaking to someone is,
sure,
and what a derogatory way of speaking to someone is. And for me, that one stranger is now infringing on the rights of the other. And therefore, for me, it's like, I now have the right, because you stepped out of your space, to step into someone else's space, sure, and infringe on their rights.
I mean, like, I know that, like,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I get you. And I think, yeah, man, it's a gray area sometimes, to be honest, especially like in the public scene. I mean, like, at the height of everything that we're facing now with men in our society and women, like, I remember there was this one day, man, I remember like driving, and I remember vividly when I was a kid, and I forgot where we were coming from. I was with my folks in the car, and we were driving through town, and like, there was a guy that was like dragging this woman out the car and like about to start beating her. And I faintly just remember how I felt when I kind of like witnessed that. And I was just like, why isn't there anyone doing anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how is my, and not to discredit him in any way, like maybe he didn't notice it or whatever, but like, how's my dad driving past this? Do you get what I'm saying? And now I'm just like, you know, in a public scene, if you see someone else speaking in that derogatory way to a woman, or just even if it's not like man to woman, or just in general, just being an ass, like, are you going to wait for him to say, yeah, you can call me out, or yeah, you can tell me I'm doing crap or whatever? Or are you going to actually step up and say something? Because now, sorry to interject, it's like, my thing is that my frustration actually is that we hide, like men actually hide behind, like,
it cowardice.
It's cowardice. Call it what it is. It's cowardice to be in a public space where you see someone else being disrespected and not say anything.
Yeah.
Like, if someone else, and we've seen this so many times, is that depending on how hard it hits you, like, you can be in a McDonald's and you see another person calling another black guy the K word, and you'd be like, yo.
Because it hits hard.
Because it hits hard. Yeah. It hits home.
Yeah.
Then, or now you see a guy that's calling a girl and saying, yes, that's one of the dating women.
Yeah.
Then you're like, yeah, you feel like, no, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Only because that's your norm.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, circles, that's probably something that you condone and you're fine with. So like, when you hear it in a public setting, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
I think for me, it's like, I once heard, I think it was Chris Brown, after he had his daughter.
Sure.
And he was like, now I'm going to refrain from calling women hoes, and I was like, that's a good thing for you now to actually realize, because now you have something that makes this thing hit home. But it does not take away from the fact that it's always been wrong.
Yeah,
you just didn't notice it.
100%.
So what that guy is doing, whether you know him or not, it doesn't take away from the fact that it is wrong, and someone needs to help him like recognize that what he's doing is wrong. And that's why for me, I don't believe that like, I feel like generally we live in a society where people feel like it's none of my business. I'm going to just, you know, we say drink your water and mind your business, you know. And I feel like what that does is that it allows people to carry on with bad habits, sometimes being unaware, you know, that what they are doing is actually like not right or not cool.
Yeah.
But we all just watch them, you know, and we don't necessarily cheer them on, but we don't, you know, we don't say anything, which I think is the same thing.
Bro, you're a dad now. Given everything that you just said, like, what does it now mean to be a dad with knowing everything that you know and with that kind of opinion?
Bro, like, for me, it's scary. Like, the thought of my son standing next to his friend and watching his friend or listening to his friend call a woman a whore and my son to keep quiet, that scares me, right? For my son to be able to watch injustice and do nothing, that stuff scares me. So for me, it's like everything that I do, all these things that I try and instill into my sons is because I'm scared of the kind of men that they'll become if I keep quiet and if I don't like work at making them different or making them better.
And I'm like, I feel you. I that's the best word to actually use, scary. But even at that is that I don't think it's a crippling kind of fear.
No,
I think it just makes you a bit more woke to the fact
that enlightening.
Enlightening to the fact that you actually need to be a bit more intentional about what you say and how you raise your kids.
Yeah.
Like me now, like when all these killings, you know, like were spiking and like it was making it to the media and everything is coming to the surface. Bro, I have three girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, bro, I like for like a day or one time, I just remember just sitting in bed. And I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I teach them? What do I say? Like, do I now like fence their whole lives to protect them? Yes, 100%. Their safety comes first.
But, yeah.
But the world is the world is twisted.
Yeah.
Right. Human, like as humans, we're twisted and we're not perfect. And now I remember someone, man, I remember someone like I remember putting some stuff in my Insta stories about all these things. And like there was a lady that commented and I mean, she responded to me and said that like, how do you bring kids into this world now? People are scared to even have kids.
Yeah. Like they are legit traumatized by society.
The idea of having kids now.
Yeah.
With everything that's happening, it scares people. It's not even like in the past, it was like, I need to have a job so I can bring my kids into the world. Yeah. Now it's like, damn, I'm not even sure if I want to bring my kids into like what it is now.
Yeah. And there are legit people who've decided they're not having kids because of that.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean like, anyway, I get a bit emotional with that. But my thing is now is how do we as dads, how do we become better? Because it starts with us. I mean, like in as much as we can do what we can for our kids, the immediate or direct change that we can have is with ourselves.
Yeah.
So I know, I mean, we touched on the calling out thing as one thing.
Yeah.
And amongst the relationships that we have as guys, because I feel like there's still a lot of like, value in doing that as just it's solving one piece of this whole puzzle toward getting better. So like for you, how do you feel like how is being a dad for you making you better as a man?
Bro, it's like awareness. Like you become so aware of like everything around you, like the human beings around you, and that everyone else around you has feelings, emotions, and a past and a future and all of these things. And it's like, now for me, it's just like, I've got kids. I can choose to be present or I can choose to be absent, right? And what does being present mean? You know?
Sure.
And for me, it's like all these moments, bro, like in a day, there are so many moments, so many opportunities for me to kind of be present, you know? It's like I will, let's say, be reprimanding my one son. And then my other son will be like, but Torch, you can't scream at him, right? And then I'm like, no, I wasn't screaming, you know? And then in that moment, I'll recognize that, shucks, I just justified what he felt like was screaming to him. I just justified it. And I was like, no, I wasn't screaming. And then in that moment, I need to decide, am I just going to run with that I wasn't screaming? Or am I now going to actually say, you know what? You felt like I was screaming and I apologize for screaming because that's how you felt, right? That's what you felt I was doing. I didn't feel like I was screaming, but if I need to speak a little lower, then I'll speak a little lower.
Bro, you are touching on me on my studio right now. Because you know that this is like a struggle for me.
Yeah.
Like I used to struggle with just having a short temper. Remember back in Austin, and it's like, I remember like before I started dating my wife, I remember you said, you called me out on this. You were probably one of the few people that called me out on this. And I remember because I struggled with not knowing, like I couldn't tell like when I was raising my voice.
Yeah.
Like we'd be talking and then like the discussion would just start becoming heated.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, level up, Nyana.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I remember this was tough. I remember the one day you're like, bro, just relax. You don't just relax, bro. You don't have to scream. And I'm like, I'm not screaming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shh. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, it's worse now when you're talking to like
the kids,
a lady or a kid. Because as gents, we can get really heated, but then I can't speak with that same tone with my kids.
Sure.
Like never. Because for them, it's like frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time my son told me, you don't have to scream at me. And I'm like, what the hell, bro? Like, I was just like, okay, that is interesting. I never thought like my son would call me out on something like that. Yep. I mean, and it was good. And I was just like, oh, I actually said to him, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because the weird thing, and I like, we grow up with this. And I mean, we joke about it and to some degree, is like, as Black people, like, our parents raising their voices at us is normal.
It's normal.
It's normal. Yep. It's like we all grow up with it. I have an idea. That's why you behind go wash the dishes, go whatever. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it is what it is. Like that's our norm.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's okay.
Yeah.
Just because it's a norm doesn't mean that it's okay. And I mean, like, when I started realizing, okay, shucks, I have a short temper and I'm not the best with communicating. I realized that like there's some form of like emotional intelligence you need as a dude. And I reckon like for me, it's like, it doesn't come natural. Like it really, like maybe it's just for me, I'm admitting it for myself, but I feel like just as dudes, emotional intelligence doesn't come to us that easily. And I think that's why sometimes we struggle when we're being called out, because we're just like, we have this bravado of saying that, no, like, I'm fine, I'm right, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're actually not, bro.
Like, I think generally, like, emotional intelligence, you know, it's just like normal intelligence. Not everyone has it, you know. It's not dished out in the same, you know, quantity to everyone.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Sure.
But I feel like women have the advantage of being nurtured into, like, being more aware of their emotions and how they're feeling, you know, they speak about it. And, you know, whereas gents, you know, it's like, what made you sad? Okay, whatever.
Get over it.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah. You're not going to come and be sad here, you know.
Yeah.
Be sad in a corner if you're going to be sad. Some aren't sad at all,
yeah,
you know. So I think for us, then emotional intelligence is not a thing. It's not a survival tool for us. We don't feel like we need it. And that's because generally I feel like the world is built, you know, for men. It's for them. They don't need it. They can actually go about their days without having to be aware of their emotions, which is not right.
That's dangerous, bro.
Exactly.
That's I feel like that's very, it's the truth, but when you said it, I cringed a bit because
you feel like it's not right.
No, yeah, it's not right, but the reason why I'm saying it's dangerous is because it's going to come out.
Yeah, no, it does.
It's going to come out, and sometimes it comes out as a fist.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes it comes out as suicide.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And then my thing is like, I like, for me, emotion, when I heard the first time I heard this term, I'm like, okay, that sounds fancy. But then I started like just giving it a bit more time and research, and I was just like, yeah, this is not my strongest point. And I realized the more and more I delved into it, I realized how much of it I needed.
Yeah.
Just not only just in how I communicate with other people, but just for myself.
Yeah.
Like, how do you regulate when you're feeling down?
Yeah.
Like, how do you regulate yourself when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling excited, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling depressed?
Yeah.
Like, where do you take all these emotions and how do you deal with them? And it's like, now, which is great, it's like the world is a lot more aware of depression. The world is but stuff like anger.
Yeah.
Anger is a real thing. Like, I say anger is a real thing because I struggled with a short temper. Like, my family, when I kind of like, you know, like started being a Christian, like that was one of the biggest changes that happened for me, is like, I prayed a lot about this thing because it was such a big thing in my life. Like, I was fighting with people. I was fighting with my family. I was just in bad terms with a lot of people because the short temper was just such a deal breaker with a lot of people that even in the height of my prayers in my corners, that was a thing that I felt like I needed to deal with.
Yeah.
And, but it's not the norm.
Yeah. As in the dealing.
The dealing is not a norm. So, I mean, like, we talked about calling each other out as between me and you as a boy, but like, you dealing with your issues as a man is not the norm.
Yeah, because we even phrase it differently.
Yeah.
We say women are emotional, right? Because they are aware of their emotions.
But I feel like we say it in a patronizing way when say that women are emotional as though that...
It's a negative thing.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's negatively connotated. And that's why as a man, you can't be emotional. That's for women, you know? And like as a man, it's almost like, for me to get to the place where you have to deal, you need to be aware that there's something that needs to be dealt with, right? And a lot of people aren't aware because things are packaged differently.
And that's what I was saying, it's dangerous because it's going to come out.
Yeah, because it's like, oh no, Khabo is a little aggro, but it's not a thing. It's not, it's nothing big.
Yeah.
You know, he's just
we're
like...
We're all aggro, we're boys.
Yeah.
It is, like we're men, like...
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Exactly. So I feel like the fact that we phrase it differently, we package it differently, things don't alarm us, you know, because there's like no need for them to be alarming because we downplay a lot of things, you know. I feel like there are a lot of guys that are walking around angry, walking around sad, you know, and we don't recognize sadness as sadness, you know. It's just like, how are you? No, I'm cool, you know? Yeah, I'm cool, you know? Because you have to be cool all the time. You need to be okay.
True.
As a guy, you need to be cool. You need to be okay. You need to be down, you know? Whereas with women, you know, it'll be like, how are you? I'm not okay. Okay, let's talk about it. And then they'll have a whole sleepover, you know, because one of their friends is not okay. We would never do. It's like, oh, you're not fine. Let's go out and drink, you know? Because that's how we deal with
that. Sorry for using that, but that's when it all goes south from there.
Yeah.
That's when it all goes south. Anyway, bro, gotta wrap this up, man. Like, I know that for a lot of people, this will like spark a lot of conversations, which is what exactly what I wanted from this thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we have this conversation. Thank you for coming.
No problem, bro.
No.
Told you I'm blazing.
Oh, damn.
Always ready and willing.
Oh, yeah. Peace.
Son of a Son, a podcast unpacking how fatherhood makes better men.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.